Sydney Thompson. Mr. Shurer, did I pronounce it correct?
Shire.
Shire, all right.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Charles Shire. I'm the attorney for the appellant, Sydney Thompson. In 2008, this court, in the case United States v. Garcia, hesitated when they found probable cause for a search warrant, in part because the supporting affidavits lacked much detail. The affidavit before you today lacks even more than in the Garcia case. And in fact, it's so facially deficient that even the good faith exception cannot save it. When you have a confidential informant, as we did in this case, the courts look to four factors. One of those main factors that's relevant here is detail, the amount of detail. The confidential informant basically said, over the last 30 days, he was there multiple times, the last time within 72 hours. Now, let me take that 72 hours, because that gets thrown around a lot. There is no 72-hour bright line rule. And I think that's relevant in this case, because the confidential informant gave nothing on quantity. He simply said it was a quantity of an off-white rock substance. Compare that to the Garcia case, where he says also within 72 hours it's an off-white powdery substance, but it was packaged in a plastic bag. Now, at least with the powder cocaine, there was some estimation for the issuing judge that there was enough to sort of fill a plastic bag. That's some amount. That's some estimation. But the Garcia affidavit was referred to by this court in the United States v. Sutton as a very low bar. And in fact, the court said probable cause has been found by affidavits with far less detail, and then used the Garcia affidavit as the example in the United States v. Sutton. But even in Garcia, there's some estimation there that you have at least enough to fill up a bag. Here, we have nothing. And when you're dealing with rock cocaine, at least you could give an estimate on pieces. You know, or maybe even size, but there's nothing on that. Now, in order to find probable cause and kick down somebody's door, there has to be some probability that the contraband's going to be there. What if there was just one rock? And if there's just one rock, is there really a likelihood 72 hours later that it's still there? Remember, in this case, the confidential informant says that Sydney Thompson is selling drugs from this location. Mind you, he provides absolutely no detail as to, oh, maybe a buyer, or maybe transactions, or maybe money being exchanged, or baggies, or scales, or weapons, anything that you might associate with a transaction or selling drugs. He simply says there's a quantity of a rock substance. Well, what likelihood is there if the quantity is slight?
Well, there was more than that, though. He said that, but the officer included information establishing the informant's credibility, the fact that he had previously conducted a controlled buy of marijuana that had led to an arrest. He corroborated some of the information that had been provided, such as the identification of Thompson from the photo array, checked his criminal history, various things. So there was more than that.
Yes, Your Honor, and that's the best thing that the government has going for it with regards to corroboration. Yeah, obviously the confidential informant knew who Sydney was. He didn't know his last name, but he referred to him as Sydney and knew where he lived. That was pretty much it.
That's certainly important for the magistrate to take into account all those factors. And then there have been a number of cases that talk about the within 72 hours and say it's fine.
That's correct, Your Honor. But when everything else is deficient, and in fact, in the United States v. Owens case, they used the same language. They use a quantity. And in fact, this court even said, well, how are you supposed to know what that quantity is? And if it is slight, what's the likelihood that it's still there? And again, I go back to, if it's slight in this case, if it's just one rock, then what's the likelihood that that rock is there? And if he sold it, what's the likelihood that $20 is still there? And it's extremely low. Not to mention that this affidavit is written ambiguous at best with regards to who had possession of the drugs and who represented the drugs to the informant as being, in fact, that drugs. And in fact, the United States acknowledged on page 14 of their brief, they admit that it's could have been written more clearly. And in fact, the district court judge indicated that the confidential informant was told that it was crack. And then Judge Shadid says, presumably by Sidney Thompson. Well, the judge has to say presumably because, in fact, it is extremely unclear. So while there is corroboration in the sense that Sidney Thompson lived at that address, that's about it. And with regards to the reliability, this confidential informant did not testify in front of the issuing judge. He provided two sort of background instances, one controlled by that was not cocaine. And I think that's relevant because this confidential informant didn't say he knew that was cocaine via his own prior experiences. He was told. And all those other examples, whether it's U.S. v. Peck or U.S. v. Sutton or U.S. v. Garcia, all these confidential informants claim that they knew it was cocaine or marijuana based on their prior experiences or they had sold in the past. We don't even know why that confidential informant was in the house. We don't even know if he ever saw a transaction. And we don't even know how he would even know it was drugs. Now, it says he was told that, but again, I'd ask the justices to go back and look at that affidavit because it's so unclear. Was he told it was rock cocaine by Sidney Thompson, or was it Sidney Thompson who had possession of the rock cocaine and someone else told him, or was it Sidney Thompson who told that it was rock cocaine and there was a third party who was in possession of it? It's very, very unclear. With regards to, I see that...
You're in your rebuttal time. You can keep going, but you're eating up your rebuttal time.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to save that, the good faith argument
for
rebuttal.
We'll save that time for you. Mr. Walters.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court, Mr. Shire. Your Honors, I think the clearest and legally appropriate route and affirmance in this case of Judge Shadid is the good faith exception under United States versus Leon. What we have is a presumption of good faith because they sought the warrant, and so the question becomes, is it so plainly deficient that a reasonable officer could not rely upon the issuance of that search warrant? And we suggest to the court no. We have the defendant in his brief who has attempted to rely on three cases, United States versus Owens, United States versus Peck, and United States versus Garcia, and at least implicitly arguing that this court has found a materially similar warrant insufficient in one of those three cases, and we suggest that that is incorrect. In United States versus Garcia, first of all, this court found that the warrant was sufficient, albeit barely so. In United States versus Owen, that case is clearly distinguishable from the warrant in this case because it contained no more than the bare-bones statement of a confidential informant had been in the defendant's residence 3 months earlier and purchased an amount of cocaine. That was it. And then in United States versus Peck, you have the confidential informant who went before the judge who said nothing more than Mr. Peck was about ready to sell cocaine based on information that she had observed 2 days earlier, and she described him as a black male. There were no efforts in Peck by the police to corroborate, and that, and this court said in Peck that that compounded the lack of specificity. What we have in this case is not a bare bones, plainly deficient warrant. We have corroborative efforts by the police. We have first-hand observations by a confidential informant, and we have a short intervening period of at least 72 hours, which I understand there is no bright line rule federally. I think that is a common allegation that happens in state warrants within the state of Illinois. Mr. Shire's statement that everything else about this warrant is insufficient is just plainly, respectfully incorrect. And so based on Leon alone, this court should affirm Judge Shedd.
So you know that Leon is your fallback position, but your bottom line is you think this affidavit was sufficient.
We do, and it is barely sufficient, just as it was in United States versus Garcia. This is not a model affidavit by any means, Your Honor.
What do you know about the confidential informant?
I know nothing.
For instance, the reason, was this a male?
I really literally know nothing, Your Honor, because since this is a four corners warrant and they do not do anything.
So we don't know that. I was just curious what, you know, why the person was in the house. We don't know that.
It would be completely.
So the only history of this CI is that there was a previous marijuana controlled by. Is that what it was?
There are two things, Your Honor. One was a previous controlled by of marijuana. The second, he or she was involved in a John or Jane Doe warrant that led to the arrest of another target or suspect based on controlled substances found in that.
So we don't know whether this CI was a buyer or just an acquaintance or somebody was in the house for other reasons.
We don't know if it was buyer, family member, user, co-distributor.
And do you agree then that the quantity matters?
I do, Your Honor. I do agree that quantity matters.
And should be specified or at least an estimate?
I think so, and this court made that clear in Garcia that is, and I think Judge Shadid recognized that is something important that allows a court to determine whether, as Mr. Shire pointed out, there's a reasonable probability that evidence of the crime will be present at the time that the search warrant is issued, and quantity does go towards that determination, certainly. But what I would like to point out about that, although quantity is material, and we support that conclusion by this court, it is twice that he's there, and it happens to be those times that there is cocaine or suspected cocaine present. So it's not as if this is a one-time occurrence, according to the confidential informant in this case. So we would ask that the court affirm the district court on probable cause grounds, as well as alternatively the Leon good faith, and unless there are questions from the court, we would rest on our brief.
There are no questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Shire, how much time? 3 minutes.
Thank you, Judge. With regards to Mr. Walters' agreement with me that Garcia barely was approved by this court, this affidavit, as I started with my comments, was below Garcia. When you put them side by side, in Garcia, they said it was packaged. Here, we have no idea how it was contained. In Garcia, they told you it was packaged in a plastic bag. That gives you some idea of the amount. In Garcia, they told you it was in the living room. In our case, we have no clue, none whatsoever. It says in and about the residence, so that doesn't really tell us anything. In Garcia, he said he knew that it was illegal drugs. In our case, he's told that it's drugs. In Garcia, the officer claimed credibility because he had provided information to three arrests. In our instance, there's one arrest, there's one controlled by, and one arrest, and it was a John Doe warrant, but we don't even know if the information the confidential informant gave was related to the arrest. And I give the example of...
Well, before you do that, counsel's basically conceded that this is a thin, very thin affidavit, and he's relying primarily on Leon.
Well, so when you go to good faith, I think you've got evidence of a rubber stamp when the affidavit suggests that there were drug sales, and there's nothing about amount, the package, the buyers, the cash, the weapons, anything like that, then you've got evidence of a rubber stamp. And if this affidavit is below Garcia, this court's already warned that Garcia is barely. And if this one comes in below Garcia, then no reasonable officer could have thought that they had probable cause. There's just simply nothing there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.